Where have all the bloggers gone on this episode of Insights in Nursing? Welcome to another episode of Insights in Nursing. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, also host of The Nursing Show and a variety of other programs. But this is one of my favorite programs because I get to talk about nursing with some of the top nurse leaders online. And I'm really excited to have my guests today. I'm going to start off with Cora Vizcarra. She's known as Infusion Nurse over on Twitter and also has her blog, the infusionnurse.org. And her blog is a great resource for anybody interested in infusion nursing. Cora, thanks so much for coming on the show at the last minute.
Oh, you're welcome, Jamie. My pleasure.
Some of you may remember Cora. I interviewed her it's probably been over a year ago, talking about infusion nursing. And I'll put the link in the show notes so you can check out that interview if you want to check that out over at insightsinnursing.com. I'll have the link over to the Nursing Show episode as well. So, Cora, great to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
And we have back with us Kim McAllister from the Emerja blog, and Kim is here. We were supposed to have Terry with us from Nurse Ratched's Place, but I understand she's helping someone who has a flooded store of some sort, so we're going to hopefully get her back on the show in a future episode. But Kim, great to have you here.
Thanks, Jamie. Good to be here.
So I wanted to talk about my primary topic I wanted to discuss today. It's not specifically a nursing blog topic, but I think a topic about professional blogging in general and the response of some employers to blogging activities by nurses and other medical professionals. A good friend of mine, and I think, Kim, you know him as well,
right.
Mark Lenkhorst. He's a blogger from the UK, and he's a paramedic and a nurse. And he has been blogging for some time as 999 Medic, and he's closing his blog. And one of the reasons he cites is that he's concerned based on some things he's heard, rumblings, he calls it, from his employer. Now, they haven't told him he has to quit blogging, but he's concerned that there's some issues that they might have with bloggers in general. And he's decided to just get ahead of the curve. He has a bad feeling, and he's just going to go ahead and stop blogging. And so he's put up a farewell to blogging. His blog's going to be active for the rest of July, and then it's gone. And that's just such a loss. He's the originator of the handover blog carnival for EMS blogs, and it's a great loss to blogging and medical blogging in general. And Kim, do you have any comments on this?
Oh, it's a horrible loss. Mark was pretty much instrumental in pulling the whole EMS group of bloggers together. He writes well. He's a nice guy, and it's definitely a loss to the blogosphere. And I'm really surprised that, well, I've been blogging for going on my 6th year next month, and I'm still shocked that after all these years, this is still happening, that med bloggers of all in all areas are afraid of losing their job, or employers are still antsy about having their employees in the blogosphere. Mark is not anonymous. He's definitely, puts his name right out there. And I think it makes me sad. It makes me angry. It's like all this time and there's still people in organizations who don't understand that responsible, accountable blogging is not a danger to their organization or their practice.
Now, Cora, you're a relatively a new blogger. I think you've been blogging for, about a year or so?
That's correct.
You had some concerns. You were a past president of the Infusion Nurses Society. You didn't blog while you were president, but started soon afterward. But you still had concerns about how you might be associated and what conclusions might be drawn by someone visiting your blog.
That's true. And truly, for, you know, while I was the president of the Infusion Nurses Society, it was my personal choice not to do any blogs, or personal or professional. And also, even though I was on Twitter, I actually did not have a professional Twitter. Mine was very personal, and only just, you know, a few personal friends and family members knew about my Twitter account. And again, for just the reason that sometimes the perception of people that because you are the president and you're representing the organization, even though you have separate thoughts and opinions, that while you're sitting in that position, you are representing, you know, the organization, off, I mean, whether officially or unofficially. And so, you know, for me to just to be on the safe side and not to, you know, put anybody in any tough situation, I decided not to blog while I did that. Now, I did it shortly after I finished my term as president, and still at that, I was still a bit concerned because I was still serving on the board of directors, although I was not the president. And so my blogs will, you know, contain things that would pertain to just, you know, procedures and issues related to infusion nursing and infusion therapy, but not specifically associating myself with the organization. Again, just, you know, to be on the safe side. And I think it's simply because a lot of people are still very new to social media and to blogging, even though a lot of people have been blogging. And I think their perception of blogging is still just from a personal perspective, like a journal, diaries of sort. And so I think that's where people are getting all confused about sometimes, you know, your personal opinion versus your professional opinion.
Do you think that, is this a failing because companies just don't have a policy, and since they lack a policy, the knee-jerk reaction is just to say no?
I think so. I think it's just the lack of understanding of, you know, the differences. I think, and like Kim was saying, the accountability. You can blog and have a personal blog, but, and if you blog about things that you do at work, you know, I think it's just responsible not to give, you know, specifics or indications whatsoever that would clue people into who you, where you work, and what the situation is, and might reveal something that's personal to the patient or to the organization. But I think it's just that people are very concerned, and it's maybe just paranoid a little bit, because we are in healthcare, we are still a little bit behind in social media. It's probably only since the last 2 years or so that we have begun to use it more. And so I think, you know, just like anything else, you know, the internet and the email, it'll take a little bit more time for us to be more comfortable with it.
Kim, what about your thoughts? You were talking earlier about your hospital's response to your blogging. They seem to be okay with it as long as you don't mention them, right?
Right. And it was actually they had a problem with me being interviewed and using my hospital's name. If I'm in an interview, if I use the hospital's name or if it's known where I work, then I have to clear it through PR. But as long as I'm being interviewed, and basically it's just known that I'm an emergency department nurse in the San Francisco Bay Area, then it's not an issue to the hospital because my opinions aren't being associated with them. I don't have my hospital's name anywhere on my blog, but it was never really an issue. And I think when I started, blogs were just sort of coming into their own. And it was like, well, so what? You have a blog. Okay. And then I found out that some of the doctors and some of the nurses would read it. My boss reads it, as far as I know. But I knew that from the beginning. And so it's, I still rant and I still put my opinions out there. But there's a, you can rant and you can opine about a specific issue without getting personal. So if I have an issue with a physician at work, I can blog about frustration about nursing and physician relationships in general and give general examples, but I'm not going to get on my blog and say, I'm working with a, you know, working with a jerk physician and give all the examples of why this particular person is such a jerk. You know, there's a difference there. My personal issue is not the blog topic. It's the what did my personal issue in the bigger picture, how does that relate to nursing? At least I think that's how my blog has evolved over the last few years.
I would say that's my impression. And I think that I agree with you. And it's a shame when we look at Mark's blog. I mean, he has been the epitome of ethical conduct. He describes general patient presentations to make a point when he's discussing a particular topic or a medical issue, but he doesn't, and no time do I ever get a sense that I could identify a specific patient based on that. He's been a proponent of social media across all types of medical fields. He's been invited by the primary emergency medical journal in the UK to write for them on social media topics, and yet he still felt it necessary for him to step down from active blogging.
You know what's interesting there is that it was a general feeling, a general sense that it was frowned upon. That's probably even worse than somebody coming up and saying, hey, look, we are concerned about your blog and we're concerned for these reasons. You know, it was more from what I'm understanding from his blog, it was more of a just general, oh, this is sort of frowned upon and I'm going to get out of it before I get singled out. And I think that's even worse. I mean, if my job had a problem with my blog and came and said, hey, wow, you know, we're concerned about this, this, and this aspect, you know, there might be some negotiable aspects there, you know, but to just think that, oh my God, I'm going to be just this general fear that your job may be in jeopardy if you keep an online presence. Oh, that's just awful.
Well, and I think he also felt that it was, and I don't know this for certain, but I get it. Just there's been a couple of instances where he's been interviewed by other podcasters and had discussions. And I get a sense that really it wouldn't have been a problem if he wanted to stay where he was. But if he wanted to continue to advance, he was going to, you know, maybe a promotion would have been held away from him because of his blogging, which I think is absolutely insane because
he is
a proponent for his service. He's an indicator of the overall professionalism. He should be held up as an example and not held back because of the example he sets. Corey, I hear you agreeing back there. Any comments?
I agree with you that I don't think that should be a measure of, you know, really although it's called professional blogging, it's really outside the scope of your work. Although you talk about what you do, it's truly not about your employer or the things you do at work. To me, it's just like, you know, I write about our specialty and the goal is to promote the specialty and to help people understand, you know, what infusion nursing is all about. And an IV is just not an IV, and you have to, you know, respect some of the peripheral IVs and things like that. And where else will they get that except from the practitioners that actually work in that area? You know, you don't get to read those on textbooks or in peer journals even. But those are things that, you know, are common sense and practice that, you know, that you talk about. So to me, if that would be a criteria of not promoting you or not getting a job that you want, that truly, you know, is so unfair. And that, you know, he writes here that it is really a shame that he has to end it because, like he said, is because of the general lack of understanding of blogging and social media. You know, if you go back, think back, you know, a couple of years ago when the internet was very, very new, and even emails, a lot of us would be so afraid to put stuff on emails. Well, even now, but still, a lot of people weren't using it because, number one, they didn't know how or they didn't quite understand it. And now it's just second nature to everybody. So I'm hoping that that he would, at least, you know, maybe he's just taking a break and he might come back later on, but I'm hoping that the society in general or the world will have a different perspective of this and a better understanding, because, you know, it's social media and blogging's not going to go away. So unless we adjust to it, you know, we're just going to be, there are just going to be some people that are not going to be part of it. So.
I mean, Kim, we've talked about this. It was discussed last year at the Blog World Med Blogger track. Cora, I don't know if you're aware that there's a Med Blogger track at Blog World.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get to see you out there. I don't know if you're available in October, but it's certainly, you know, I know you've got the topics kind of already squared away out there, but if nothing else, this should be a side discussion, because I think we need to come up with some standard for the healthcare workplace. So that they have a set of rules that they can, you know, implement and have already written up for them if they want to implement a policy that without having to go to the trouble of writing one up themselves.
Well, basically, there's the healthcare blogger code of ethics that I should find that. Do you need that link, Jamie? I can find that for you. The healthcare blogger code of ethics that technically is supposed to or would function very well as a policy and bloggers, and those are, we call it, it's peer reviewed. Nobody gets to put that on their blog unless a group of other med bloggers have looked it over and made sure that it is, the blog conforms to the ethical standards of the med blogger code of ethics. There's also a patient blogger code of ethics. In addition, here, I'm pulling it up for you now, that would do very well for the hospitals if they wanted to use it, or to understand that if the blog had this on there, subscribe to this, then they didn't have to worry about what the blogger was going to write, and they would understand that the blogger themselves understood that there were certain things that they were following, and that made them an ethical blogger based on the judgment of their peers, their blogging peers.
And actually, if people are listening to that, they can go to medbloggercode.com, and it'll bring up that Med Blogger Code of Ethics for those. And I know that there are people out there that don't have that badge on their site, not because they don't adhere to the entire code, but because there may be some portion of it that they feel is a little too restrictive. But I speak of one of the bloggers I read, Rogue Medic. He likes to be a little incendiary when he disagrees with something. And he generally holds himself very professionally. He always cites research resources, and he's very big on medical research and research-based medicine. But he gets very frustrated with people that don't use good research or cite bad research, and he's not gentle when he gets frustrated with them. And that was part of the med blogger code, that he said, you know, I can't adhere to that because that's the way I am. So,
well, I think the only problem with that is there's the basic, as I'm looking at the code, there's five aspects of it, and one of them is courtesy, and it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know, you can be incendiary, and some of the best blogs are very incendiary, but there's a way of being incendiary without a personal attack. And that's it. I mean, debating and discussing in a very heated fashion is probably the heart of the blogosphere. But as long as you're not criticizing a person or engaging in personal attacks, you know, like, gee, you're a creep or something like that, he should be just fine.
Well, I think he reserves the right
to be uncourteous if he wants to.
he's a lot of fun to read, but he doesn't pull punches. And, oh, no, and you know, I'm okay with that. And, you know, I don't discount that he is a good blogger and has a lot of great things to bring to the table. He's very anonymous. You know, those of us who know who he is, it was kind of like, we know your secret identity. I feel like, you know, I feel like I know who Bruce Wayne is, you know?
That is funny. That's a problem, too, with speaking of Blog World. If you're an anonymous blogger, you can't really go to Blog World without letting the whole world know who you are.
Well, maybe we need to like hand out masks at the door, you know, little Robin masks, you know, the ones that just barely cover your eyes.
Oh God. Okay. That'll be a good one.
I'll wear them. You know, we could get Dr. Anonymous and I, we'll do a whole video segment wearing our masks.
The anonymous blogger.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Now, do you think, Jamie, that the difference is where Mark is located versus bloggers here in the U.S.? I mean, I know it shouldn't matter, but do you think that that has anything to do with that?
You know, I think in many cases, our rights and responsibilities as citizens are very similar. I think there's some differences in they don't have – the UK doesn't have the absolute freedom of the press that the United States has. And I think that, you know, there's a slight difference there. But there are other bloggers in the UK. I know Tom Reynolds, who writes Blood, Sweat, and Tea, mm-hmm. is a paramedic blogger in the London Ambulance Service. He's got three books that he's written using his blog posts as the basis. He's really, you know, he's the national blogger. When they think about medical bloggers, he's almost one of the, you know, he gets on TV and stuff. The comment was raised in one recent discussion about Mark's leaving was that, well, maybe they'd like to get rid of Tom, but he's become too big to dump. So I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I think that there could be some cultural differences and maybe some legal differences in how blogging is approached in the workplace. But again, Mark is such a proponent of what he does, both as a profession and the service for which he works. And I think that many companies really miss the mark when they shut down their employees who are bloggers that are responsible and promoting their professionalism, even in the private sector as a private blogger, their professionalism can only reflect well on the companies that have hired them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion about that. Of course, I'm a self-employed individual. So, you know, I wake up in the morning and I get fired or hired based upon how good I look in the mirror. And it's amazing I still have a job under those standards.
Well, I agree with you. And I think, you know, you would think that a popular blogger who is writing about the EMS system in any country they're in is promoting an understanding of that system. Tom gets, yeah, I mean, his circulation is unbelievable. I've got his books, even in this country. But you would think it would be a help to understand, for the public to understand what it's like for the ambulance personnel, the medics, the paramedics, what it's like out there, and promote an understanding of the system itself, the abuses of it, the successes of it. Only a positive thing. I mean, if he was getting up there going, oh, this is junk and that's junk and we're all junk and or something like that, that would be, yeah, I mean, that might be a negative thing, but a negative blog doesn't necessarily become a successful blog either.
Cora, you're the newer blogger here, and yet you seem, you know, I've been following what you've been writing, and you certainly, I think, do a good job of promoting infusion nursing and trends in patient care in that arena. Have you gotten any response back from other nurses in the infusion setting?
Yeah, I mean, I do. They do come to my blog, and most of them would either, if they have something to add to the topic, they would comment. But for the most part, you know, I know they read, but they don't leave comments. And a lot of have subscribed to, you know, to the blog, just to see if, you know, for new posts that I put up. But I overall, really, nobody has given me anything negative. But and a lot would just, you know, I think they're just trying to understand how a nurse could do this, for one thing, and you know, what do you really write? Because it really is, you know, you have to think about what you write. It's just not something that you And I've read several, other bloggers, not just healthcare bloggers or medical bloggers, that actually say, really, it takes about, 1 or 2 hours to create one that that would be really good to post and would not, be considered a professional blog. So nothing that would say, why are you doing this? I think I've made that clear in my blog about why I do this, and I think for the most part nobody has outright commented negatively, but if they have a different opinion, they have so far either would just email me or they would very nicely state it on the comments.
Well, I know that if you want negative comments, just write about Nurse Jackie, right, Kim?
Oh, <That's> yeah. <terrible. laughs> That'll get them going.
Yeah.
Well, it'll get them going if you have anything negative to say on the show. So, yeah.
We talked about that last week, Cora, and just talking about nurses on TV and movies. And Kim had one of her more popular posts or unpopular posts because she had some issues with Nurse Jackie. And apparently there are a lot of fans who disagreed with her.
Oh, really? Oh, I think I subscribe to your blog, but I don't think I see the comments. I'm trying to go back and look at it.
How long ago was that, Kim? We were going to put that link up somewhere.
Well, this is Jackie's second season, I think. So it would have had to have been at least a year and a half. I can look it up. Let's see here.
Because I remember that has always been, even just on Twitter, a lot of nurses, at least where mostly, the people I follow on Twitter are mostly nurses, so they, of course, have a different perspective. But are those nurses that responded to your blog that are fans of Nurse Jackie? Is that...
Yeah, basically, my issue was my issue was sort of a knee-jerk reaction to the trailers when it first came out. It hadn't really been shown yet. And in as it was shown and it was watched, people were not as concerned about the fact that of Jackie's personal life or her addiction issues or anything along those lines. What they were focusing on was, and all they cared about, which I can understand, is what was her nursing like, and was she portraying an accurate description or an accurate portrayal of what nurses actually do in the emergency department or in general, their responsibilities, their accountabilities, and in that area, it was like, forget all this other stuff. That's just character development. What we're concerned about is what she's doing at work. And I still had a few issues with that, but I could see their point, definitely. And if they're looking at a nurse who is making autonomous decisions, who is working in a collegial relationship with physicians, directing patient care, this sort of thing, then yeah, they definitely had a point. And I actually had to go back and kind of relook how I looked at it.
Oh, this is the one that your blog from April 29th. Is it Nurse Jackie, drug addicted nurse character?
Oh my God, you found it before I did.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one. And I actually closed the comments on it because I figured, well, I can only be told I'm stupid so many times before it starts to get annoying. So, yeah, that's the one.
And it's good to get comments, but I sometimes think people, I don't know, I get comments all day long. I know I wrote a blog post, probably about 9-10 months ago on a college, a nursing school that was restricting students with tattoos from entering the program. That if they had any tattoos that were visible when they would be wearing their normal clinical uniform of scrubs, they would not be allowed to enter the program because there was a feeling that they might be restricted from getting a job after they graduated, and this school didn't want to have problems placing its students in local hospitals. And boy, I kind of wrote a comment that maybe reflects my age.
Oh.
I got all kinds of response. It's the most commented blog post on any of my, you know, I have the Medicast blog for EMS stuff and the Nursing Show blog. I was just overwhelmed by the response. And, you know, cultural background, you know, nurses from Australia and New Zealand, where culturally there's a tattoo basis in a lot of the native cultures there, they were like, no, everybody has tattoos. So they didn't understand the discussion at all there. And then there was discussions here that people felt like they were being discriminated against. And, you know, so I'm always surprised at the things that I end up getting comments about. So it's interesting what will dredge up an emotional response. And that's what it takes. You have to get an emotional response from your reader to get them to say something back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That is true.
So you're going to have to write something strongly worded about pick lines, Cora. Or
and maybe I'm just walking that fine line of just providing the information and not stirring up controversy, hopefully.
Oh, I think you're
fine line.
Cora's last post, the controversy is between the lines here about when you were talking about going to the First World Congress on Vascular Access in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing in the different countries, the different roles of nursing, and that nurses don't insert PICCs or do infusion therapy in other countries. I'm like, this is amazing to me.
Yes, and that was to me very, very surprising. And it's just still to me, you know, I had to ask why. Why? I mean, and the gentleman who is a nurse that was presenting, you know, why? Actually, his was just a legal overview, but he did concentrate a lot more on why nurses don't do that there. And I outlined, you know, the bullet points that he said. And the bottom line is, you know, they just don't think much, in my opinion, they don't think much of themselves to even become a true profession, that they're always subservient and, you know, and ancillary to medicine, and always in that, you know, serving capacity rather than the leading or the being taking the lead capacity. So there's a big difference, and I'm hoping that would change. I think there are some countries that are better than others, but I think for the most part, most of them don't think much of themselves, at least, to be able to stand up and say something, or even make the change. Right. So. You know, Jamie, one of the things that I thought of when you were talking about blogging and their, you know, the ramifications sometimes of blogs, is that story about that student, the nursing student from University of Louisville, Kentucky in Louisville, who was who wrote about. It's really about her experience in her OB rotation. And then the school of nursing found out about it and dismissed her from nursing school. I think you've probably heard about that. And this probably happened 2 years ago, but they just got the verdict about maybe 6 months or so ago during the fall, because she went ahead. So she was asked to leave the school. And, of course, she was not very happy. And so also, you know, so she did sue the school and she won against the school that it was her right to blog because she didn't really identify the patient or I think she said she was a nursing student, but she didn't really identify the patient per se, but just the experience of birthing and that from a nursing student's perspective. And I think she won the case.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, actually, I put the link in the chat room if you want to check it out.
Okay.
Where was I for all this?
I think I covered the story. And,
yeah, you did. I saw many blogs about that.
I must have been asleep.
Okay. You have to step back every now and then, Kim. It's okay. We'll pick up the slack for you.
Yeah, oh my God. I'm looking here going, that was over a year ago. I must have been sleeping through 2009.
Well, and it's again, I think she did win her court case. It's a knee-jerk. It's that knee-jerk reaction to you can't have an opinion. You can't express your free speech rights if you're in the medical profession. And there's nothing that says that anywhere. You as long as you're acting responsibly, as long as you're not violating any patient trust, there's there's no way anyone who wasn't on that clinical rotation with this student would know who the heck she was talking about. And those that were there were part of the clinical experience anyway. You know, and so it was clear to me that this was just, at the time, it was clear to me that this was an instant knee-jerk reaction. And this could have been an incredible promotional opportunity for this university.
Yeah.
And to promote their nursing program, to have a student's real impressions of what it's like to be a nurse. It's a great way to say, look, these are some of our students are doing. The same way you hold up your students who are involved in civic activities. this is a similar way to express what's going on in nursing and promote the profession and promote students in the profession. And it was a big deal. And I was really glad that she won her case, because I really think the school just, if it had been a student in any other part of the university, it wouldn't have been a problem. It wouldn't even have been considered.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know, nursing is a, historically has been a very sort of silent profession. You don't see a lot of, well, you see more now, but you didn't see a lot of nursing experts being interviewed when there was an issue, a medical issue that was in the news. And nurses just have tended not speak up for themselves. Obviously, this is changing. I've been a nurse since, you know, disco was popular. So I've seen 30 years of it. But, you know, they were, nurses as a group have been not real eager to get out there and have their voices heard or express their opinions. Blogging is certainly one way of doing that. And it's almost like, you know, that at nursing school is when nursing education is when you should be allowed to, you know, express yourself. And that's where you form the basis for your future professional interactions with media or patients or administration. And it's like, shh, we don't want any controversy. Quiet, nice and quiet, low profile. And that's rather insulting. I mean, if you put pictures of a patient up on your blog, kiss it goodbye. And I don't think there's anybody in the world who would fight for you at that point. You blew it. But to express your opinions like this particular blogger did, you know, sometimes we tend to use gallows humor. You know, we tend to be a little bit strident or a little bit creative in how we might describe a patient's presentation or their affect. But that's that particular person's opinion or perception. And, you know, do we not have a right to express that?
Well, I think we do. And I think that, if anything, I think nurses have, I don't know, I'm a bit of an activist in how I promote things. And I see all of the things that nurses have done, maybe silently, but I think that they're more active than we give our nurses in history credit for. I mean, Florence Nightingale didn't hang back in the shadows, and
oh.
You know, that woman was a force wherever she went.
I'm talking about your average everyday staff nurse, working registered nurse. I mean, we've had some huge leaders that have made dramatic changes in the profession, obviously, because we're not what we were 100 years ago. But for the regular, you know, going to work every day, taking care of patients, staff nurse, we've never been really encouraged to talk about, outside of to each other, talk about what it's like to be a nurse, what it really takes to be a nurse. We just sort of just do it. And I think you're right, though. I think we've had some huge, obviously, historical leaders, and there's leaders right now out there that are doing the same thing. But I'm talking about, you know, the rest of us.
That is true. Some would not even talk about, you know, things outside of their work. When they leave work, they just forget about it and just, you know, and a lot are just like that. You know, they just go to work and do their time. And
I mean, I was like that for years, you know, and I, maybe we all go through periods of that, but to be able to get across to the public what it is nurses are responsible for, what we are accountable for, we don't always speak up. And so you get some pretty awful depictions in the media. And, you know, the public is smart. I don't think they think all nurses are running around with short skirts acting like hookers. Trust me, if I wore a short skirt, they would run the other way. So it's, you know, I think
Me too.
I don't know. I might want a picture before I run the other way there, Jamie.
The problem is I'll do anything. So the part of my brain that is supposed to like inhibit me just doesn't exist. This is why I stay away from controlled substances.
Yeah. And I think the perception, you're right. I think, you know, they're not all that way, but I think for the majority, when you say nurse, you know, to me, you know, and one of my issues, which I've been thinking about blogging, but I just really, you know, been just thinking about it, is, you know, shouldn't the name nurse just be reserved for a true nurse, a true registered nurse? Because I've had so many experiences with in a doctor's office where, you know, they present themselves as nurses, but they're medical assistants, and that just bothers me a lot.
In fact, I corrected my doctor's medical assistant, and the secretary who took the call, who said, "I'll get Dr. So-and-so's nurse to call you back." And I was like, and she said her name, and I said, "She's not a nurse, she's a medical assistant." And so I was like, "Do you realize, you know, you can't use that title or tell people you're a nurse when you are a medical assistant?" But how many people assume when they go in that Sally works with Dr. Jones, must be Dr. Jones's nurse, as though Dr. Jones owns the nurse. Mm-hmm. But in reality, Sally is a medical assistant.
Right. I agree. That's one of the, and even, you know, even, I mean, I, not so much DLPNs, because they are considered professional nurses, but other, you know, others that do work in that caring capacity, that, you know, some patients just call them nurses or assume that they're nurses. And so as a result, you know, the image sometimes and the public's perception get wrapped into all of that. And sometimes it's just not good.
Right. Right.
Well, I think we've had a pretty lively discussion here on just blogging in general. And I know, Kim, you and I, and I'm sure Cora agree that it would be great to have more nurse bloggers, more people talking about how nurses influence healthcare and help their patients in whatever setting a nurse finds themselves. One of the things that Kim, you're involved with is the blog carnival and the change of shift.
And
that you're starting what, year five now for the change of shift.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something, and this is a secret. So anyone listening, please don't spread this around. No one listens to these shows, so it's okay.
Hey, you never know.
I know. But I, to be honest with you, I follow when you put the change of shift stuff up, but I've never contributed to the change of shift. And I'm not sure I would know how to contribute to a blog carnival. Maybe we need to, can you describe a little bit about what change of shift is, what a blog carnival is, and how this nursing blog carnival really helps promote all the nurse bloggers?
Sure. A blog carnival is where a group of blogs submit posts to one central blog who is the host of the carnival. So, if you all say you're all the nursing blogs out there, they all write a post that week. And they think, I'm going to, you know, I want this to go into the carnival. So they submit it to the carnival. With change of shift, you can either send it to Blog Carnival or usually just straight to me. If I have, I had a few guest hosts though. And I may have been a little, I probably should have promoted that their emails a lot more. I kind of thought, well, you know, I'll put the email up and that's it. Maybe we need a more central location. But those blogs go into the carnival, and then it's hosted by the host. And people can go to that carnival and get sort of a smorgasbord selection of what's out there in the nursing blogosphere. Or, I mean, there's carnivals on knitting. There's Grand Rounds, which is the general med blogger carnival. The Handover was an EMS carnival. So there's a carnival for every type of blog or website you can imagine. And what it does is it gives you, when people come to the carnival and they click through, people who normally would not have found your blog have an opportunity to read it through the link on the carnival. And it, and for the blogger, it increases visibility and visits to the blog. So it raises your stats, but it also gives sort of a camaraderie of, you know, once you start blogging and reading other blogs, you realize we all have the same issues, no matter where we work, what department we work in, what our educational level is, what country we work in. We all have similar problems. And so the carnival is kind of a way of bringing together different aspects of the nursing blogosphere. And we do that every 2 weeks.
That's very interesting, because I've read this, and I actually, that's, you're right, that's how I find, you know, other people, because I, you know, click on the links and it takes me there, and I bookmark them and whatnot. But I never understood what it's about, but I was just interested, you know, reading all the different blogs or, and entries that you have in there. So it's right. A good idea. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Right. And I think, Jamie, maybe I need to, and I'm going to, you know, I wrote a post on it and got a lot of really good suggestions. It was kind of like, hey, you know, if this is going on to year number 5, something, and dramatic drop in posts or submissions over the last year. But I'm also, and this is another whole topic altogether, noticing a huge drop in the number of nursing blogs, and not so much blogs by nurses, because they're out there by the ton, but they're not nursing blogs. So they're, you know, I went to a few, I had found a list and I went to a few, and they were like blogs that had recipes, blogs that talked about each week of pregnancy that the blogger was going through. And they were interesting blogs, but they weren't nursing related. And I'm getting less. That's why I asked about, you know, where are we going to go with this carnival? Because it was less and less submissions. And some of the old core bloggers from 5 years ago, the ones that were there from the beginning, they're not necessarily posting as much anymore. So this week I did get a few submissions, but I went out and I just searched the web and I found them, because they're out there and they're not real, you know, they're blogs that haven't been around for a long time, but there's good writing going on out there. And I figure I just have to get out there and find and welcome these people in and get them, you know, get them enthusiastic about submitting. But so right now it's a combination of posts and certain things that I find interesting. Like I always put a post from the AJN Off the Charts blog in there, because I like that blog and I think it's got some good submissions. So even if I'm not hosting, I find ones I like and submit for them. So, well, not for them, but because I like that particular post. It's changed a little bit. They never got a ton of submissions. Grand Rounds can get up to, gosh, I think the first time I hosted, I had something like 57 submissions 4 years ago or whatever. Change of Shift would get maybe 12 to 14, which is a perfect size. Not overwhelming, but enough to get a selection.
Yeah. You know, I think from my perspective, being a newer blogger among the two, between the two of you, I wish there was just one central place to find all of this information, or if you were a beginner blog, because honestly, you know, for me, I mean, obviously they don't teach this in nursing school. Right. So, you know, and the interest is really more personal than anything else. And so you learn how to search and look for all this and learn just by reading other people's blog or just searching the web. But I wish there would be a more central place for, to look for this. Like if you were wanting to start the blog and you're a nurse and it's really going to be about nursing, where do you begin? Like how, I wish there would be something like that, someplace more central instead of, it's there, but it's not right in one central location where you can easily look at it. And I think that kind of an information would also be very helpful to employers. Maybe that would then teach them to realize that, hey, you shouldn't use them against your employee or whoever's, is writing it, because this is just how it is. I mean, I wish there was something like that, more central that people can look at and find information. Kind of like a clearinghouse.
Right, right. I had actually written a blog post a few years back called How to Be a Nurse Blogtitioner. And so I was getting a lot of, how do I start? Or I just wrote my first post, or what do I do now? And I was getting a lot of that in people were emailing me. And so I would send them a link to that post because it had everything, basically everything I thought that you needed in there. I wish there was a way that I could put that somewhere on the front page, or that link on the front page, so that if people needed it. But you're right, a central clearinghouse. I guess if you're gonna look, I guess you have to put starting a blog or see what
for
pops
nurses
up on
and
Google.
Right,
yeah.
For, yeah. Right. And I'm thinking, going back to where we started with Mark, I was hoping, there would be some way to help somebody like that and help the employers or whatever he's going through that might, be, like I said, be a support for him and hopefully not have to shut down his blog.
Right, right.
Well, and I've said to Mark, and I've said in a couple of other locations, I really think this is an until next time kind of parting, because I really think Mark is going to be around. He's set himself up as a leader in EMS and has been invited to and flown over to American EMS conferences by different vendors to come in and represent them and talk about social media issues to their employees. So he's definitely made a name for himself through his blog. And I suspect he'll be back. I really think maybe he's going to be writing. And this is the interesting thing. It's okay for him to write for a journal. It's not okay for him to write the same kind of things on his blog. And I think that's the dilemma, is what's perceived of as professional journalism or responsible writing in your career field, and what is considered just a lackadaisical personal pursuit.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hope so. I hope maybe he's just taking a sabbatical or some, sometimes you just need to step back and stay away from it for a little bit and come back. What can happen?
Well, as the atmosphere changes or the understanding changes, or maybe he'll get the idea or work starts to say, well, gee, maybe that's not so bad. That, or if they had even bothered to read Mark's blog themselves, them being the powers that be or whoever is anti-blog, because there's a lot of good bloggers from the NHS over there. And if the environment changes, then hopefully he'll be back. I have yet to see a blogger come back from, unless it was a self-imposed leave, exactly, or siesta, uh-huh, or whatever. I have yet to see one come back.
Well, and he's not leaving Twitter and right, Facebook. So I think that, he's maintaining a presence. He's just not going to be writing his articles on different patient presentations and different issues in EMS as he sees them. And I'm hoping, I'm not letting him go. I'm going to be keeping in touch with him, and I'm going to be inviting him to be on my show and in the future, and hopefully he'll be able to continue in that respect.
Right.
But this is just an issue I think that all of us need to really keep in the forefront, and I appreciate both of you coming on Insights today and talking about it.
Well, thank you very much for having
thank
us.
You.
So we'll start off, Cora, where can we find you on the web? If people have been listening to this and they're like, wow, I need to listen and check out what Cora's doing.
Oh, well, you can start at the Infusion Nurse blog website, which is infusionnurse.org. And that's, a good place. And I'm also on Twitter as Infusion Nurse, or at Infusion Nurse. And would also like to take this opportunity, if anybody's interested, we hold a every other week IV chat on Twitter, and it's all about infusion nursing, venous access, and anything to do with central lines or any other things you want to talk about. But every other week, we have an hour chat on Twitter. And, on different topics, and some are suggested topics from, people that email me, or some are just, talking about different techniques and variations in practices and different hospitals or different settings. So I would like to invite everybody to, if you have time to join us. It's, like I said, sometimes it's different days of the week, but mostly it's on a Friday around lunchtime when people can get away. And hope you can join us next time.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that. That's excellent. And Kim, where can we find you?
I'm at emergiblog.com, emergiblog.com. I'm on Twitter at emergiblog, so I'm easy to find. I also have a Facebook page, but that's under my real name, which is Kim McAllister. So I'm on Facebook too.
So no Robin masks for you then?
No. Only for the first year, and then it was too hard to stay anonymous. I just thought, oh, phooey. I'm writing it, I'm putting my name behind it, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. So
I did that too for the first couple of months, and then people started. They'll find. I mean, it was not easy, but they found it. They found out who it was, and they were actually talking about a post that I have in one of their chats or in their websites, and I happened to be subscribed to that, so my name came up, and I'm like, why are they talking about me? And then I found out it was because of one of the posts about antecubital fossa routinely using it for IV access, and so they,
oh, I
they
have to look
find
that up. I have to look that one up. Okay, good. I got to read your blog cover to cover. You've been doing this for a while.
Almost a year, really. Yeah. And like I said, I've had this, but didn't really start to posting till August, till after that. So it'll be a year in August.
Okay.
But I've had the site for a while.
Okay, good. I'll look up that antecubital post.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, because I think infusion nurses handle IVs in the rest of the hospital, but ER nurses are starting a lot of IVs down there, too. So.
Oh, we're always grabbing the AC.
Right,
always.
Right. And sometimes you have to use it, but when they're ready to be transferred, we usually try to restart it somewhere else, take it out and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Well, ladies, thank you very much. It's always wonderful to have you on. And Kim, you'll be back. And Hora, I hope you'll make yourself available in the future to come back on Insights. I'll make sure I include you in my emails, along with Kim and Terry, to come back on in the future episode. We can certainly have more than three people on this discussion. It can only be more fun. So,
absolutely. Anytime. Just let me know.
Great. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Pleasure.
And I want to thank you as well. Of course, you can find me over at nursingshow.com. I host The Nursing Show there every week as well. And I also urge you to find the Insights in Nursing website, insightsinnursing.com. You'll find links to this show, also links to subscribe to the podcast, get it delivered absolutely free by sending it directly to you via iTunes or the Zune Marketplace or some other RSS reader. And you'll find all of those links and information on how to do that over at insightsinnursing.com. You can also catch up with us by email. Shoot me and the other panelists here an email with any comments, questions, or suggestions for future episodes. Send those emails in to insightsinnursing@gmail.com. We'll be back again soon with another Insights in Nursing episode. In the meantime, please remember, folks, to stay safe and stay tuned here to Insights in Nursing.